This is the Red Sox Precap with your hosts, Keaton DeRocher and Shelley Verstrate. Part of the Over the Monster Podcast Network.
Welcome back to the Red Sox Precap Podcast, a podcast from Over the Monster Podcast Network, where we recap the series that just ended, preview the series that's about to start for the Red Sox, so you are all caught up on all the happenings for the team. I'm your host, Keaton DeRocher, joined, as always, by Shelley Verstrate. Shelley, I think we have one more day until new episodes of the Great British Bake Off. This is it's going to be quite a weekend with the Yankees and Great British Bake Off.
I don't know how to prioritize. No, I'm kidding. I'm very excited for the Great British Bake Off, you know, debuting this weekend. We got Yankees. It's going to be a full weekend. I don't know what I'm going to get done other than just watching TV.
Yeah. That's same. That's all I got in my plans too. Quick little two-game series for the Red Sox here against the Mets to recap. Red Sox got the series sweep. They're second in a row. They've won seven in a row heading into the weekend. So let's dive on in. Game one, Eduardo Rodriguez versus Marcus Stroman. This one started off as a pitcher's duel. Erod was cruising until all of a sudden he was not. Following an inning where the Red Sox had the bases loaded and no outs and were only able to get one run, none runs, Eduardo Rodriguez said, "Hey, I can do that too," and loaded the bases with no outs and was extremely lucky to escape with only two runs given up. In total, he went 4 1/3 innings, gave up 5 hits, struck out 5 while only walking 3. Shelley, wasn't super sharp here, but what were your thoughts on this performance?
It was kind of like that typical Erod start, right? Where he's looking okay and then falters towards the end, right? And it's extremely frustrating because, I mean, if you look at his underlining stats, you know, like his Sierra and XFIP, he should be performing better, but we're not seeing that. And it's extremely frustrating because when you watch the game, the games that he pitches, you feel okay, and then as soon as it goes off the deep end, you can totally feel it, and you're not, you're like, oh goodness, let's please just get through this inning. So yeah, it was just like that typical Erod start where you feel okay, and then you don't feel okay.
Pretty much. The underlying stats for them, though, his FIP and XFIP, Sierra, they're all significantly better than these surface level stats. Do you feel like he's just having bad luck? As I know Dennis Eckersley on the broadcast likes to bring that up almost every time he's pitching, that it just feels like he's having that kind of bad luck. And do you feel like he could be due for a bounce back next year? Obviously, contract year this year, not a great time to have this lapse, but where do you kind of stand on Erod heading into next season?
I honestly don't know, because I mean, it just always feels like whenever I watch Erod, whenever he's been with the org, right, there was just times where you're like, yeah, I see where he's doing great with just, you know, just stuff, but it's just like he just gets into these ruts where he's just not great. So I think he's really inconsistent. So I think, yeah, honestly, I think that's just kind of who he is.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on there. The bullpen then followed, was able to lock it down to ensure the win. Ryan Brazier followed, went a clean inning. Austin Davis, 2/3 of an inning. Hansel Robles pitched an inning. Garrett Richards, an inning and a third. Darwinson Hernandez finished it off with 2/3 of an inning. On the bats, Xander Bogaerts did most of the heavy lifting. 2 hits, 4 RBIs, including a nice little homer for himself. Kike Hernandez also hit a homer. After all that, Red Sox get the win, 6-3, on to Game 2. Chris Sale versus Taylor McGill. Sale pitched on his regular rest, was able to go through 5, struck out 8, gave up 2 earned runs. Shelley, this was much better than his previous outing. Strikeouts were there this time. What'd you see from Chris Sale?
Yeah, this was definitely a much better outing for Sale against the Mets, because, I mean, when he was, you know, facing Baltimore, he only got, like, that one strikeout, but he struck out 8. he was definitely mixing up. You know, he was definitely relying more on his fastball instead of his secondary pitches. And, you know, in the Baltimore start, he was saying, like, I didn't have the feel for that fastball, so I was really working on the slider and the other pitches that he has. But you definitely saw the switch there, which really makes me feel better. Like, okay, this is the Chris Sale. He you know, he's feeling more of himself. I mean I kind of want him to go like a little bit further. Like, I want to be a little bit more economical, you know, going a little bit more than five innings. But if I'm seeing those strikeouts, he's going five innings, only giving up two runs, I'm okay with that.
Same. I think the Red Sox right now are not in a position where they need him to go like seven or eight every single time he's out there, because they have enough guys built up in the bullpen where if this is what all he can get through, if it's you know, the hitters are making him work and he can't be economical, they've got the guys to follow it up to go four innings and lock down a win, which, boy, it's nice to have a nice bullpen. It's helpful.
Yeah, it really is.
For the bats, this was the Kyle Schwarber show. Two home runs off Taiwan Walker, including a three-run homer. Red Sox offense exploded for 12 runs. The bullpen following Sale, Barnes came in, pitched a third of an inning, and did not look effective. Gave up a run on a hit and two walks. Then Brazier followed, Ottavino followed, giving up a run. Josh Taylor and then Martin Perez finished it off, allowing one run. But by then, the game was long over. What do you think of the offense in this entire series here, able to string a couple high-scoring games together?
I was very encouraged. You know, getting Bogey back into it after he came off the COVID IL. Schwarber had, you know, been kind of just not really looking that great, at least from like a hits perspective. Like, he was getting on base, but he just really wasn't stringing those hits together. But in that second game, seeing him hit two home runs, I mean, I was just like, yes, this is the guy that we really need at the top of the lineup, right? Like, just get those guys on base or just hit a home run. So I was really, really excited and pleased to see what, you know, we could do against the Mets.
Agreed. Heading into this last, what should be the most difficult series of the season left here, with Baltimore and Washington only left to follow. Having everything kind of clicking at once heading into this series, it just feels vastly different from the last time these two teams met, which is very nice. MVP of the series, who you got?
I'm kind of gonna go off the wall here, but I want to... Yeah, Jose Iglesias. I know that he hasn't really done much with the bat, but just watching him in the field again, and especially him at second base, it's honestly, it's like a cheat code, right? Because that guy is an awesome shortstop, and now we have him over at second. And just seeing some of the plays that he's making over there, just like these smooth, slick plays, he's just like kind of like tossing the ball behind his back to give the ball to Bogey to get a double play. It's just, I just want to be like, yeah, that's just been so much fun to watch.
I'm gonna go Bogarts. He was all told for the series, went 3-for-5 with a couple runs scored, home run, 4 RBIs, a couple walks in there too. Stuff that stat sheet for finally being replaced to let Arroyo get back in there in game 2 and get a couple at bats.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was going to do it for reviewing the Mets. We're going to take a quick break, come back, and preview the last series of the year against the Yankees. All right. Yankees, Red Sox, last big series of the year. Nice little weekend, 3-game set. Boy, is it a big one. You're up to date. Standings in the American League East, Tampa Bay has clinched a playoff spot. They are 6 up on Boston, 8 up on the Yankees, 8.5 up on Toronto, and 45.5 up on Baltimore. In the wild card, things are just as tight as ever. Boston in first place, 2 up on the Yankees. Toronto is a half game behind the Yankees. Seattle, 2 games back of the Yankees. Now, normally, these late September series with the Yankees are big just on their own. Throw into the mix that the Red Sox can really solidify their position in the playoffs while at the same time knocking the Yankees out of theirs. Or the Yankees being able to do the same thing to Boston with something more disastrous here. All three of these teams here in the AL East have a lot riding on this weekend series here. What's your general feel of where the Red Sox are coming into this series?
I still feel pretty okay, even if this weekend doesn't go great, just because of our next two matchups in the final week. But I mean, this is still like, I'm so looking forward to this weekend. But I'm gonna be sitting on the edge of my couch because just Yankees Red Sox always brings like a little bit of tension, but knowing that we are both kind of like fighting for the wild card and then sprinkling the Blue Jays, whose lineup is just absolutely just dominant. Yeah, it's going to be a really, really exciting weekend.
Sure is. Last home series of the season for the Red Sox. And we got some good pitching matchups. We got Nate Eovaldi versus Gerrit Cole in game one, Nick Pivetta versus Nestor Cortes Jr. in game two, Eduardo Rodriguez versus Jordan Montgomery in game three. How do you feel about those matchups?
I feel okay. I mean, that first matchup is going to be like really, really exciting to watch because, I mean, Eovaldi has just been absolutely lethal against the Yankees this year. But again, he's going up against Gerrit Cole. So that's going to be a tough from an offense and standpoint from both sides of you know, the Red Sox and the Yankees. And then Pivetta, who the heck knows? I mean, honestly, I don't know. So I am hoping for like a Pivetta-Hauk kind of tandem there. And then Erod, I don't really know what type of, you know, what version of Erod that we're going to get against Montgomery. So I feel okay.
Yeah, I don't feel super great, to be honest. Nestor Cortes has pitched extremely well so far this year for them, and I feel like Montgomery's been really kind of up and down. He's had his moments, but then again, so has Erod. So it feels like that's kind of a wild card. Eovaldi Cole, I mean, if Eovaldi takes a loss there, I'm not really going to fault him. But that should be a heck of a matchup. The one, it really feels like the Pivetta Cortes matchup in the middle there is really going to be what swings the series for me. And I completely agree with you. I'm hoping that it's like short leash and piggyback Hauk if things start to go sour here to get through that. But these are going to be three jam-packed games, and I'm pretty excited about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I like I said, I will be, you know, I will have my popcorn and just watching every single game, and hopefully not saying too many cuss words at the TV.
Yankees lineup, they're rolling out there. DJ LeMahieu, Anthony Rizzo, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Joey Gallo, Gleyber Torres, Gary Sanchez, Brett Gardner, Gio Urshela. Yankees finally have most of their lineup healthy here, but good news for the Red Sox, so do they. As Christian Arroyo has returned, he was really the last missing piece there. Red Sox, for what feels like the first time all season, actually kind of have their full testament of guys here. How much confidence does it give you that the Red Sox are playing this well and kind of have their full slate of players for the first time in several months now?
I mean, I feel a lot better. I mean, because, you know, you got, I mean, I just feel like more confident in that bench, right? I mean, if you got Iglesias in like the first couple, you know, handful, five, six, seven innings, and then you put Arroyo in a big spot, like pinch hit for Iglesias, and, you know, Arroyo has always, so far, like this season, he's always come up big in like those big spots. So just having him there gives me like a little bit of confidence. And just having just everyone here, especially now against the Yankees in this series, yeah, I feel a lot better about the lineup.
So do I. Who is your pick for MVP of the series, and what is your series prediction?
I guess for MVP of the series, I'm going to go with Houck, because I really do think that he's going to come in and bail out Pivetta, because I don't really trust him. And I think that he's going to come in for like 2-3 innings, rack up like 3-4 strikeouts, don't give up any runs. It just keeps the lineup into it. And maybe we can sneak out that second game against Pivetta and Cortez Jr. But I'm thinking we'll take 2 out of 3. I think it's going to be close. Even if we take 3 out of, if we take all 3 or we lose all 3, I think every single game is going to be extremely close.
I'm right there with you. And I think, 2 out of 3, solid. And then I think the Yankees are not going to make the playoffs. That's going to bury them.
Yep.
My MVP of the series, I'm going to go... Oh, I don't think I did my MVP of the series. Did I? No, I did. I did say Bogarts. Prediction for MVP of the series, I'm going to go Schwarber. I think he's just going to... You know, his first taste of this Red Sox-Yankees-ish, and he's going to go off feeling confident. Yes.
Love it.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks for listening. We have some other great pods on this Over the Monster Podcast Network that I hope you'll take the time to check out. The Over the Monster Podcast that Matt and Brian do, the Red Seat that Jake and I do, and then Bob and Shelley do an awesome podcast talking about Red Sox minor leaguers. You can find me on Twitter at Spoken Keats. You can find Shelley at ShelleyV_643. Thanks for listening. We will be back with you on Monday to recap the Yankees and preview Baltimore. Thanks for listening.